What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The spot you did a season ago.
You've won playoff games back-to-back years, right? You take that. Given that they drafted number two overall just last year, right? So, yeah, they're definitely an ascending team. They remind me a lot of Green Bay. Like, I really like their young roster. They just feel a little young. Like, they need a couple of guys to kind of step up. And I think their young quarterback, their inconsistent play throughout the regular season because of the availability of some of their players, and they were dinged up. Like, they need to play a little better. Like, I really like them. I keep coming back to the Chiefs. Freaking Kelce and Mahomes. They don't even run plays. Like, a part of me loves it because they don't even run plays. It's like a feel. It's very read and react, like NBA offense kind of.
Get open.
Mahomes and Kelce, just the way when he's falling down, Burrow does this a lot. He's scrambling back toward the line of scrimmage, falling down, and he throws that ball to him in the end zone. It's like, this guy, he's Houdini. That's the thing I think that frustrates most football fans. He's so good. He doesn't need all the extra flags that you're throwing his way. He doesn't need to do the, I'm going to slide late and try to draw a foul, and then I'm going to turn and complain to the officials. Like, that's the part I think that really is the twist of the knife for me.
They're a tough team to beat, man. They're going to have this game at home. Andy Reid, the one team they lost to was the Buffalo Bills. Now, I know they lost last week. Other season at Denver, they had nobody play. Buffalo handled them in Buffalo, but this is on the road again. And this is Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. Can they? Boy, I look back at their Ravens game and I'm thinking, damn, the Ravens let them off the hook. But Buffalo doesn't make mistakes. And as long as you have Josh Allen, you have a shot here. Stay away from the turnovers. Take care of the football. And they've got three running backs in Ray Davis, James Cook, and Ty Chandler who can run that football. Or Ty Johnson, I should say, number 26. Ty Johnson, who's like their passing, their receiving back or whatnot. But can Buffalo make the plays down the field against Kansas City? Can they keep Mahomes off the field with that defense? They did a good job of slowing down Derrick Henry. Did a great job of that. But can you protect on the back end? Because I do think Kansas City will have an opportunity to throw the ball against this Buffalo defense.
Probably. I thought that Josh Allen played a very Mahomes-like game in that he didn't do a whole lot to lose them the game at all. And it wasn't like he was spectacular. I mean, he was his normal Josh Allen self, but I think they only threw it seven times in the first half.
Yeah, they didn't throw it much at all.
No, but that's where it kind of reminded me.
That's a great field position,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, like they just kind of played the elements, and I thought that he did a really good job of kind of managing the game, which is not something that I think of when I think of Josh Allen. I think this is the game, like, this is the biggest game of his career.
Yeah,
it's not even a doubt. And, man, I want them to win so bad. Like, I really do. And the aesthetics of the snow in Buffalo, the aesthetics of the snow in Philadelphia.
It's great.
There's just nothing better. As much as I do love, like, the Super Bowl and all that, a part of me kind of is like, I wouldn't mind a Super Bowl. I know they'd never do it. I wouldn't mind a Super Bowl in the snow.
Well, they had the Super Bowl in New York at MetLife Stadium where it was very cold and everybody complained about it. It was a year the Niners lost to the Seahawks in the NFC Championship.
That was the Broncos-Seahawks Super Bowl.
Yep.
Wow.
Broncos-Seahawks.
Where the snap went right over Peyton's
first
head and start
game.
The game.
First play of the game.
Jesus.
They got blown out in that game. I mean, they didn't even have a shot.
Yeah.
And it was one of those games, too. I remember watching one of my boys. It's like, yo, we haven't had a blowout in the Super Bowl recently. We might be due for one. We got that one. We got it, man. Everybody, you just always sometimes
you think, Seahawks.
Like, you know, you're like, well, we're due for a blowout here, and they blew the hell out of the Broncos in that Super Bowl, no doubt. But yeah, I would want a cold Super Bowl as well. Play it outdoors. We're always having them in domes. Maybe it would be cold out here at Levi's Stadium next year for the Super Bowl. Who knows? Maybe we'll get some snow in Santa Clara. How about that?
You know, it was interesting to, like, see the play calling based on the weather. Kevin O'Connell talked, and again, I know Kevin O'Connell is the hot topic right now because of kind of his play calling, but he was talking about, hey, like, when you play quarterback, you understand as a play caller in these elements, there are certain plays that just don't work.
Nope.
They just don't work. And one of the things, I forget who was on the Rams-Philly broadcast. Who was it?
Rams-Philly was Tarico and Collinsworth.
Okay. And they were talking about the stretch read where Stafford got his arm out and just hit Kyren in the upper shoulder, mm-hmm. and he fumbled the ball on that goal line situation. All those simple plays
mean something.
They're just so much more difficult.
No, it's because
of the footing.
You can't do that in the foot. Yeah, because of the footing and the elements or whatnot. And how do you prepare for that if you're the LA Rams are playing in California? You know, you got palm trees and sunshine in Southern California. And I get what's going on down there, and our hearts and condolences still go out there to try to contain the fires down there in Southern California. It's going to be a long bill back for a lot of these families down there. There's no doubt. But when you get out there, those California kids, you get out there and you're like, whoa. And then you see the record of Matt Stafford in the snow. And he had, one win in eight attempts in the snow? So
you would assume all of those were with Detroit, right?
Absolutely.
I couldn't think of any Rams
outdoors
games.
Probably played in Green Bay, maybe a little Chicago.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
He was in that Philly game, I think, when Shady McCoy had a big game in 2013. So he's been around for a while. But look, Nacua couldn't find his footing at times. You botch a handoff in the red zone. You fumble two possessions in a row from your playmakers. You don't win football games like that. You don't win football games when you don't. The Baltimore Ravens and the Rams are flying back home thinking, gosh, we just take care of the football. We're moving the ball left to right. Like Baltimore, they're moving the ball up and down the field. Lamar's making throw after throw. But your first half, son, your first half when you fumble, your first half when you throw a pick because you don't look off the safety. Now, Buffalo didn't score off that interception. They didn't score off that interception. But you have three turnovers. And that did you in.
No.
The Rams, turnovers. Did you in.
Poor Lamar. Like, I thought he played well enough to win in the second half. I really did.
He was throwing some darts.
What were they down?
21-10 at half.
Okay. All I kept thinking to myself was, like, I trust that Lamar can come back in this one. I really do. I really thought that he could come back. And he made a scramble play where he threw back across the middle of the field on that final drive. And I was like, wow.
Dude, he was
what a play.
I mean, he was buying time in that pocket, scrambling, and just throwing darts. Darts.
And what sucks is that he's going to get another offseason of he can't win the big one. He can't win. If he wins his third MVP, which he might, I mean, the guy could conceivably have four MVPs right now. And what sucks is that all anyone's going to point to is he's not a winner. He can't win in the playoffs. And it's like he was running up against buzzsaws.
Well, here's what he said yesterday about the two-point conversion.
Again, he's getting all kinds of protection all day. Slides over to buy time, flings it down the field. It's caught for the touchdown. I say likely, and the Ravens are a two-point try away from tying the game. Going to roll, flip it. Got it. Oh, the ball was dropped. He had the two-point conversion in his hands. Andrews did not hold on.
And here's Lamar Jackson on the game afterwards.
Two costly turnovers, me not holding the safety, me just knowing the coverage, me knowing it was man through a BS interception. It was 7-7 at the time. I believe they scored after that. Battle back, fumble, snap, trying to make something happen. You know, couldn't throw. It was like a RPO play, so I couldn't really throw the ball to likely, you know, the offensive line down the field. So I was trying to make something happen. Tried to squeeze the ball, it slipped out my hand. Von Miller picked it up, got some yards. I think that led to points for them. So it's a team effort out there. You know, he's been busting his behind. He's making plays happen out there on that field for us. Came up short. And like I've been saying all season, every time we're in situations like this, turnovers play a factor. Penalties play a factor. Tonight, the turnovers can't happen, you know? And that's why we lost the game, because as you can see, we're moving the ball wonderfully. It's hold on to the. I'm sorry for my language, but knowing.
And he was visibly frustrated, man. That's a tough one. This was their year with Derrick Henry and that defense coming along. I thought their defense played well yesterday, Sasky. They outscored Buffalo the second half 15-6, but you have to take care of the little things. The interceptions, the turnovers, the penalties. It did them in.
Yeah. I think about, like, Mike Trout, and it's so hard to win in baseball, but, like, Mike Trout, what is he known for? Like, he's never won anything. But we know he's one of the greats. Chris Paul is like part of like the first sentence is he's one of the greatest players ever. He's never won anything. James Harden never won anything. And I feel like Lamar is in that same bucket, which is sucks. It's like the worst spot to be in. You're one of the greatest players ever who's never won anything.
Dan Marino.
Tony Gwynn, Bonds.
John Elway had to deal with this until his final two seasons of his career.
But even Elway got to Super Bowls.
Yeah, but he got blown out. And the narrative on Elway was, yeah, he can't win the big ones. Especially they had home field advantage. Mike Shanahan's first year coaching them. And they lost to the Jaguars in divisional round. Mark Brunell, Tony Baselli. They went to Mile High Stadium, won 30-27. And Denver was rolling that season. And Brunell and company, Tom Coughlin, undressed the Broncos with Terrell Davis and Ed McCaffrey. The narrative on Elway was, he's never going to win it. And when he did win it against Green Bay, it came as a complete shock because they were big underdogs in that game. And Terrell Davis basically carried the offense. So he's in that category with the Marinos, the Jim Kellys. Think about Jim Kelly with the four straight Super Bowls. Jim Kelly's an all-time great.
I mean, at this point, Lamar would die to have one Super Bowl appearance. You know what I mean? It sucks. I feel bad for the guy. And then Mark Andrews, you know, we'll talk about it on the other side, but there's some Mark Andrews things. It's just the worst place to be in sports is the guy that made the big gaffe at the end when you're actually a really good player.
The big gaffe at the end that was a gaffe after he fumbled in the fourth quarter at midfield.
Multiple gaffes.
You know, so that's a problem. He had such an up and down season. But we'll talk about Mark Andrews. We'll flip to the Warriors at 1-888-957-9570. The Warriors. They hang on to beat the Wizards, but it was not an impressive victory whatsoever. And Jordan Poole, what do you guys think about Draymond Green apologizing to Jordan Poole on Twitter? Basically saying, I am really sorry, replied to a Mark Spears tweet from ESPN after Jordan Poole said, I love those guys over there. Well, I love most of the guys over there. We can kind of figure out who he was talking about. So we'll get into that as well. Brought to you by MB Jesse Patey.
All right, Dub Nation, it's Draymond Green. Tip-off is coming later today with the great Tim Roy. And then tune in to the Morning Roast tomorrow morning for the best Warriors coverage.
Warriors and Celtics today at 2 o'clock at Chase Center. Early start, folks. Early start. Matinee. And this is a rematch of their game in early November when the Warriors beat the Celtics, although the Celtics didn't have Jaylen Brown or Kristaps Porzingis. Not sure if Porzingis is going to play today. Boston, they lost to Atlanta Saturday night. Now they have to take the cross-country flight all the way to the Bay Area to start their road trip off. Now, Draymond Green is out today with a left calf strain. Steph Curry is questionable. He got rolled up on late in the game by Jordan Poole with the knee/ankle. He also was dealing with the thumb injury, so who knows who's going to play today. Nationally televised game at Chase Center. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a special holiday, of course, as we all have a dream that the Warriors will become relevant again. In terms of a championship contender. Right now, they're not playing like a championship contender. There's no doubt about that. They struggled with the Wizards on Saturday night. They were down 7 at the half to a team that won one road game. They were down 7 at the half to a team that has won 21 games over their last two seasons. They are not playing well. And then you get Draymond Green. Because Jordan Poole lit it up. 38 points, 12 of 25. And how many Warrior fans were watching Jordan Poole thinking, he should be on our team? He should be in our uniform. What the hell is going on here? But it was ironic that Jordan Poole goes and lights it up, 12 of 25. He makes 8 threes. He's shooting over 40% from three this year. He's having a career season. Although the Wizards aren't winning much games, they're a young team with not much around them. But they're trying to build. 38 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds. And Draymond Green leaves the game 3 minutes into it with the left calf strain after missing the previous three games. So the bet with House of Pride Rib, whether he plays 65 games, I think that's as good as God. He's played 34 games so far. He's got to play 31 more. We shall see. The Warriors have 41 games left.
Oh, no.
He's got 10 games of wiggle room, but we have no idea how long he's going to be out right now. Well, boy, the Warriors are...
Give me the meat.
They're struggling, Chasky. They need Kuminga back. It's good that Wiggins is playing well, but that was not an impressive win on Saturday. Let's just be real.
Yeah, I mean, they're not very good. This whole, like, I don't know.
I heard Spinelli laughing.
I mean, it's like, the championship, like, no. Like,
nobody's saying that.
No, I'm not saying you.
Nobody's saying that.
No, but people do. You know, and I think it's like, we're tripping.
Can I play the glass half full? They're 4 games out of the loss column for the 4th spot in the West. I'm kidding. They are four games behind.
And I'm four digits away from being a millionaire. You know
sound
what
like
I mean?
The Giants fans making that same argument. Oh,
seriously. Man.
Yeah, sound like you, right, love?
Exactly. Exactly. I know those words. I've said it myself.
I play that game a lot. Hey, you're only three back in the loss column. When everything's doom and gloom, I'm saying, hey, things could be worse.
Hey, you laugh at me when I say it. So
no, I say it. I use that line all the time. I love looking at the loss column.
I'd rather be the Wizards.
I'd rather be the Dodgers right now.
Oh, boy.
All right, stop it.
They have a $450 million payroll.
Hey, it is what it is.
No, it is not. It is what it is. It's ridiculous.
It is what it is, man.
It's ridiculous.
If the Giants were doing it, we would not be complaining.
Oh, I freely admit that, but I would also acknowledge that, like, there's got to be some balance. Like, you can't have four and five payrolls at, like, $60, $70, $80 million and then have one at $450.
I 888-957-9570 because it is money time for everybody wearing Dodger blue. But where's the money coming from when it comes to the Golden State Warriors? They're going to take on the Celtics today. We're talking to Jermaine Wiggins out there at WEEI in Boston. He's a big Celtic fan. We'll ask about the playoffs and Mike Vrabel and what he's seeing from the Celtics. Because the Celtics, they are a very predictable team. They remind me so much of the Houston Rockets of the late 2010s when it's just threes, frees, and layups. They don't shoot the mid-range. They jack up over 53s a game. They're a very predictable offense, but they're more likable than those Houston Rockets teams, right? Daryl Morey and Mike D'Antoni kind of got off our nerves with all the talking they did, and James Harden with all the flopping. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are more likable. Drew Holiday's a likable player, but they play like the Rockets. Very, very predictable. Just watch the game today. You'll see what I'm talking about. But how did people feel when Jordan Poole back in the building?
All I kept thinking watching the game was the woulda, coulda, shoulda, and where everything went wrong. Now, like, again, and I don't think anybody, even if, like, I consider myself probably a bigger Jordan Poole fan than most. And I know you would probably align more with where I'm coming from. And it's like, I never thought that he was some perennial all-star yearly, but I certainly didn't think he was a scrub. And, yeah, he's terrible on defense. There were three or four occasions, especially in the fourth quarter, where he just falls asleep off ball. And the next thing you know, GP2, who he ended up getting switched on, is like, yep, I'm going to slide right here. Let me go right up and up and in. And how about GP2 untying his shoes? I mean, that was pretty funny. I got a kick out of that. But more than anything,
that was fun.
Watch how the rest of the Warriors, not named Draymond Green, react to Jordan Poole. And I don't know how many people picked up on this, but clearly, those guys really like him. And I think that that matters to me. As we want to, like, crush a 23-year-old or a 24-year-old for being too confident in the ultimate, like, young guy confidence era. Like, go to a sixth grade basketball game and watch a bunch of kids play, sixth graders, who all think that they're him. They're Himothy. That's what they all think. They're pointing to their ice in their veins, and they're doing the three, and they're doing the he's too small. And we're mad at Jordan Poole, who's averaging 20 in the league for being arrogant.
Well,
do you understand the type of arrogance that's required to play in the NBA?
Well, that's why the last 2 years has gotten on my nerves. I'm talking Warriors basketball, talking about who's got a bad attitude and who doesn't have a bad attitude. You know, Jordan Poole's attitude that year was directly related to what happened in training camp. And how can you get over that? So, fortunately, and I'll reveal some of the things. After the post-game show, I walked back in the arena, grabbed some stats, catching up with some people. And Jordan Poole, they were having like a free throw shooting contest with all the fans. Guys, check your phone. I want you to pull this sound here from Jordan Poole. But after the game, they were having like a little free throw contest with the fans. They're letting fans go on the court and shoot free throws, so we're having some fun with that. And then I look down, and there's Jordan Poole and his family. So I walk up. I go, hey, Jordan, man, because he had two threes.
As in his family, he's not married, is he?
He's not married.
So it's like
mom, dad, okay, family, just, close friends.
You don't have to disclose. His contingent, I was just curious.
His contingency.
Yeah.
It's like 15 deep.
He's got buddies.
He got, you know, there was a lot there.
I know there's a photographer, J Squared.
J Squared was there.
From Reardon, who's very tight with him.
I ran into J Squared. I see J Squared all the time. He lives around. He lives by me. We're like neighbors. I ran into him at Damali Stone's.
That's great work.
But J Squared and G Baby, who's Jonathan Kamiga's photographer,
G-Baby.
Always joke with them.
What
always joke with them. I look at them. I was like, oh, J Squared, you're back in the building. You're new buddy now. So those guys are really good dudes, man. Really good dudes. I love J Squared, what he's done and what he's had to overcome to get to the point he's at right now. But Jordan Poole's there, and I walk up to him because he admits two threes in the first half. Wizards were rolling up nine. And he had two threes that went in and out. And I was like, ooh, they go up 12, 13, 15. What's going to happen here? So I walk up, I go, man, those two threes that went in and out in the first half, whoo! He goes, here you go. I end up chopping it up with him and his family for about 10 minutes. And it was obvious to me when I walked away from that moment that he missed being here. And he's like, dude, I still see three jerseys here. I said, dude, you have no idea the pool parties that we're having out here. That was a thing. That was the second biggest pop outside of Stephen Curry making threes was Jordan Poole. And the quickness he had to burst to the rack, he was balling. And then I started thinking, how does this look in a league full of ultimate bucket getters where you need offense? Because that's what's done in the Warriors since they've started 12-3. Their offense has been awful. Middle of the pack. I got the numbers here. It's been atrocious to watch at times. Steph Curry mentioned stale. And then I started thinking, what if Klay and Poole was here? Obviously, there are some guys who are going to be gone. But what if you had JP and what if you had Klay? Like, Shaz, can I ask you right now? Outside of Stephen Curry, who are you leaving open on a three-point line on this basketball team right now?
What I mean, who am I guarding?
Who are you gonna guard on a three-point line?
Oh yeah, who am I guarding? Yeah, well, I mean, occasionally, buddy.
Occasionally,
like, I mean, I'm just trying to think of like if I'm doing a scouting report.
Right.
It's like Buddy and Wiggins again, occasionally, and Wiggins. It's more like I'll let him take the three because I don't want him to drive. I think he's better as a penetrator, you know, attacking the hoop. But, I mean, those guys, how many shooters in the league can I name before I get to those two?
Right.
That I fear more? 75? 80? 90? I don't know what the answer is. And again, Wiggins is having a good year.
He's having a really good year.
He's actually had
three straight games in which he scored at least 20, and he actually saved a game Saturday night Steph was clearly compromised with the right thumb.
Yeah.
Wiggins was balling.
But
if you were
guarding Wiggins, just think about it from like, if you and me were guarding, again, if we were, he's going to blow by us no matter what. But like, are you going to take a couple steps back and give him the three-point shot and not give him the penetration, right? Or are you going to play him super tight? You're probably going to lay off him a little, like at the three-point line, just a little, right? And that doesn't mean he can't shoot the three. It's like, of the things he does well, that's not going to be what he hangs his hat on.
So basically, you're kind of proving my point.
Which
here is
no one.
Well, you're proving my point. So I brought up Klay a little bit to the pools, and I was just like, look, at least with Klay, and I know how it ended, and which is just silly when people say, well, you had a bad attitude. A lot of people don't even know what went on in that locker room. A lot of guys have bad attitudes. You ever been on the team? CYO, Little League, high school, college. There's always going to be a bad apple at some point. But to put it all on Klay saying he was the ultimate bad apple is just ridiculous. I don't want to go down that road, though. But at least with Klay, you know you're not going to leave him open on the three-point line. So where I'm getting to is the spacing on the floor. With Poole, with Klay, you have ultimate spacing for Stephen Curry. And right now, when you're playing these lineups, and actually Looney looks good, and I think the Warriors are probably going to go to the one big lineup at times. At times, you don't have the spacing because you have too many non-scorers on the floor. And so that's doing the Warriors in. You look at their numbers this year, Shasky. Points per game, they're 19th in the league. The Warriors with Steph Curry, 19th in the league when it comes to points per game. Field goal percentage, they're 24th in field goal percentage. Three-point percentage, middle of the pack, 13th in the league. Offensive rating, 20th. And I see Poole cooking, and I'm thinking about what could have been. What could have been? Division of the two timeline, integrating the youngsters with Steve Kerr saying last week, this is a young man's game. And I'm thinking, we had a plethora of young men that could help this team today. And for whatever reason, that's not here anymore. And now we get to Draymond Green. Because here's what Jordan Poole said after the game, and I want to get to Draymond Green.
Yeah, I love those guys over there. I love most of those guys over there. Really good group, really good staff. Shout out to the fans. Saw a lot of three jerseys out there, a lot of JP3 jerseys, which is always really cool. And always get a lot of love. Spent some good quality time here, and it's dope to see it. Appreciate it.
And Jordan Poole, I mean, just talking to him and his pops, his moms, everything, he's in such a great place right now. And I was happy for him that he's able to revitalize his career, play at a high level, average a career highs over. I love the guy. I do. He was one of my favorites. And so to see him in a better space was great. But then that comes out. Mark Spears posted a quote. Dalton Johnson had the video. And next thing you know, Draymond Green, and we all thought it was a fake account, but it was actually Draymond Green who tweeted and replied to Mark Spears' tweet saying, I really am sorry. And the regret that he's had now with that situation. And I want to know from Dub Nation, is the apology too late? Do you like the apology? What would you feel? How'd you, when you read it, what came to your mind? Draymond Green apologized, basically saying, I really am sorry about what happened. He told Penny Hardaway earlier this season, but it may be a little too little too late. And I'm thinking about where the organization is now, where the roster is now. Boy, you could have made it work. You could have made it work with all these guys. The San Antonio Spurs went back-to-back finals, integrating young guys at Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green and Patty Mills and Tiago Splitter. It could work. But Draymond Green tweeted, I really am sorry. Shasky, I know you've been very critical of Draymond Green recently, but what did you think when Jordan Poole said what he said and Draymond Green replying the way he replied?
I thought it was a fake tweet. I didn't think, like, in terms of, like, I thought it was, like, a fake account. I'm like, because, you know, I get burned on the internet all the time. And I'm like, he really felt compelled to tweet at Mark Spears to defend himself? Why now? Why are you contrite now? Why haven't you done this earlier? Why did you do a documentary after you punched the guy and have it released on Ring Night? Why have you been so defiant about the whole thing? I had way more questions than I had answers. I mean, it's funny to me. I've been labeled a Draymond hater for a long time. And I see what he brings to the table. But the way I view things is it's not all one or the other. Like, Dre's terrible or Dre's the greatest ever. There's gray area, right? He brings stuff to the table. But I think we've reached the inflection point for most fans where all the baggage outweighs the stuff he brings to the floor. And this is clearly another case and another reminder of all the baggage that he brings to the table. Now, on the court, and we're going to get into the whole JP thing, but on the court, he's a great defender. Would we all agree?
Yep.
Okay.
That's not good enough right now.
Well, let me tell you what he's not bringing to the floor. Spacing on offense.
Yep.
Team chemistry. Availability. He's definitely not empowering all the young players. Clogging up the four and the five at times for others to play. As in Kuminga, Moody, potentially could have been Klay Thompson maybe playing some minutes at the four. Right? He's bringing more cons to the table than the pros. And now I go back to the Jordan Poole thing, and I'm saying to myself, boy, how guilty does this guy feel? How guilty does he feel to have to go out and reply tweet to Mark Spears? Yeah. I said I was sorry.
I am really sorry.
I'm okay. Really sorry. Clearly Jordan Poole doesn't feel that.
Well,
it doesn't matter what Joe Shasky thinks.
Yeah,
it doesn't. It doesn't matter what Golden State Warrior fan X thinks. Like, it really, like, if you felt like you apologized and that guy accepted it or whatever, or maybe he didn't accept it, but like, you feeling sorry, that doesn't mean nothing. Like, how many times I've said to my wife, like, oh, I messed up. I'm really sorry. Well, at some point, it falls on deaf ears.
Well, it does. And listen, we've had 2 years to kind of digest this and hijack the season and, you know, talking to Poole and looking at him in his eyes and seeing where he was. Going back to that incident, and I remember that year, and I'll freely admit it. When that incident happened, I said, there's no way they're going back-to-back in my head. But I said, how do I get through the season and try to help Dub Nation get through the season and enjoy basketball, knowing that there's this big elephant in the room where you got two guys who are probably not going to speak to each other much in that locker room,
in a small
or on that practice court, and you got to fly all across the country with each other. It's just not, it's not good. So the way it was handled, and I don't blame the Warriors for not handling it great because they're a basketball organization. How do you handle a situation like this? But thinking about that situation, because it came to light Saturday, it did. It really got me thinking about everything. It was like, boy, that incident could be the beginning, was the beginning of the end of what we see now with the Golden State Warriors, and I hope it's not the case. I still believe they have some. Look, this stretch they're in right now, let's just be real. This is a season-defining stretch for the Golden State Warriors. It's going to dictate what they do at the trade deadline. It's going to dictate what they look like by the end of the year.
It might have an effect on next year.
Yeah, it will. It's a season-defining.
Like, yeah.
This is a critical, critical, critical stretch. And the last time they had 8 of 9 at home, they went 3-6. Now, this time you have 8 and 9 at home, you know you're going to be without Draymond Green for a while. You're going to be without Jonathan Kuminga for maybe the next week. What happens? You're playing Moses Moody at the four. But going back to that incident, and I just thought, boy, the Warriors, it was a poor job of handling the situation in terms of, okay, I get, we want to know who leaked the video. We still don't know who leaked the video. I get it. We want to know who leaked the video. But also, I thought the care for Poole, we could have been a little more careful there in terms of just protecting your young assets, saying, all right, man, we got, but we moved on to Draymond, got a little punishment in training camp, but he was there for ring night. He didn't miss a game. And the optics of everything that's happened since then, the LeBron James dap up with LeBron and Draymond, and you see Iguodala on the bench doing what he's doing, and the way he was getting side-eyed there, the way the documentary you mentioned got leaked on ring night, which probably we should have just pressed pause on and just said, let's leave it alone.
It's called tact.
You know, it's not a good look.
Would you
it's
agree?
Not a great look. It's not a great look. And in the way that season, the way that season played out, and we saw it during the championship year where if you did want to move off of Draymond Green at times, well, we saw in pivotal moments, game one against Memphis, Draymond got ejected. They won that basketball game. Mm-hmm. Jordan Poole and Steph Curry was, and people forget, I was talking to Jordan Poole about this. I said, dude, I've seen a lot of NBA players in their first postseason just wilt. The guy averaged 17 during his, it was his first ever postseason.
And it got very physical.
Got very physical. And it was talking. And look, he went through his ups and downs, but damn, he was a net gain when you have Steph, Clay, and Wiggins doing their thing. I'm getting 17 for Poole off the bench. Wow, that's a bonus. But you saw pivotal moments during that series. Looney as a one big. Gets Dallas, game two, Draymond gets in the foul trouble. They come back from the 20-point deficit, they win that series. Game four, Boston, we know what happened in the fourth quarter. So there was pivotal moments where you said, what does it look like without Dre? You may be able to sustain some things without Draymond Green for the foreseeable future. And then you look at the Lakers series that next year where the incident does happen, Chasky. And what did I say going to the Sacramento series? It's a one big lineup series. What flipped it? Draymond gets suspended. Game three, they win. They go one big lineup with Kevon Looney. Wow. The offense is moving. There's a lot of spacing. Wow, Clay's wide open. The two big lineup, that Lakers series, did them in. Anthony Davis is pecking at the paint. So at that point, you're thinking to yourself, how do you evolve as a team? Do you still go with the old well, which you have won a lot of championships with? Or do you kind of tweak some things and move forward? Especially after that incident. And the optics of, we're going to flip Poole for Chris Paul, who's always been a hated Warrior, and he plays a slowdown system. It's probably not going to work.
Gosh.
And you gave Draymond $100 million after that incident, and now here we are in 2025, and in a game with Jordan Poole and the Wizards, and Draymond Green, it's Draymond who leaves 3 minutes into the game with an injury, and it's Jordan Poole score 38, and you're thinking to yourself, is Draymond Green going to hold up with his body? And then two, you got the incident after the game where he's saying, I'm sorry, and it's almost like, you know what? I understand the apology. I understand feeling guilt. But it also feels like, boy, this may came a couple years too late. And I know he's offered more apologies. This isn't the only one. But I think he was basically saying, like, dude, I know I screwed up. But the effects it's had on this organization now, Poole's gone. Clay's gone. We have no idea what the team's going to look like next season. They're 21-20. And the one young asset you have in Jonathan Kuminga, and you have Moses Moody too, who's going to get some runway here. But also Jonathan Kuminga, people have been up and down on him because of the position logjam at the four spot, the positional logjam you have at the four spot. But also, it's kind of, you know, up and down, and minutes been toyed with left and right. And we're in this spot now, and I'm just thinking to myself, it all started with that incident. If that incident doesn't happen, how different does it look? And I drove home that entire night thinking, damn, we had the future in our hands. Yeah, Jordan Poole, who's going to learn from Steph and Clay? And the whole thing, I'm long-winded here. The other thing that bothered me, the whole sequence, and I heard it from people on these airways over and over again, Clay was jealous of Poole shine, and they didn't like each other. Yeah, you sure about that? Because Klay Thompson's brother, Michael, worked out Jordan Poole before every single game. And if you think Klay and Jordan Poole had a beef or a problem, you think Michael Thompson would be working out Jordan Poole before the game? No. Those guys loved each other. So there's been a lot of fake narratives around the Golden State Warriors over the last couple years. A lot of lies about a lot of people having attitude problems and egos. And saying that certain people deserve this and certain people deserve that. Nah, man. That incident may have been the beginning of the end of this current core of the Golden State Warriors. And I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But watching Jordan Poole doing what he was doing, and what he's done this season, even though they're losing a lot of games, and looking at my old vets, and I'm saying, damn.
You know, it's interesting. My dad used to say to me, you know, like, you don't burn bridges. And how you treat people on the way up is how you're going to be treated when you're on the way down. And so when it comes to Draymond Green, I have very little empathy. I just don't. I don't have a lot of empathy for him. I don't think he's been the greatest teammate. I don't think he's been the greatest employee, because at some level he is an employee. I think he's been defiant at every single turn. I think he's failed to acknowledge his own shortcomings. None of us is perfect. No one asks for you to be perfect. And we made a lot of excuses for him. And it just feels like with a lot of the fan base, the jig is up. And it feels like a lot of people are starting to see it for what it is. And you and I have talked about this. We knew this day was coming. I said to you, how many years ago did I say, come on, B, you know one day when they divorce, the Warriors and Draymond, it's going to be ugly. And it feels like we're in it right now.
Yeah.
And then to see Moses Moody get opportunities at the four, and for the coach to come out and say, boy, you know, he's got some opportunities here at the four, and we really like him at the four. I'm thinking to myself, I like pulled my hands up, and I'm like, have I not been screaming to the high heavens? Kaminga's a four? I don't know about Moody. I never thought Moody.
Well, I think the Moody playing him at the four is, we've talked about his lateral quickness, yes, athletically and whatnot. Maybe he's not ready to guard guards. But if you get him down with his body, his strength, lower body strength, you play him at the four defensively, where you're not guarding guys who's got the ball in their hands. Maybe they're just on the three-point line or whatnot. Maybe it's an easier role for Moody defensively. And then offensively, if you're playing him at the four, and if a big happens to be guarding him in a cross matchup, well, he's gonna have an advantage offensively. So, yeah, when it comes to Draymond Green, and I'm just looking at the numbers here, I'm keeping it basketball, stylistically. Yeah,
but on the basketball court,
basketball,
all he's bringing
December
to the table
1st,
right now is defense, and he's not healthy.
Well, I don't know, because I don't even know about defense, because right now, obviously, he's not healthy. And when I saw Jaime Jaquez drive by him twice during that game against Miami, during the last homestand, I said, damn, Dre's not moving well at all. And now you look at his shot, which he got off to a hot start from the three-point line. Now he's shooting 30% from three since December 1st. He's not the only one struggling from three, but he's shooting 30% from three, 39.5% from the floor, and you're not getting the rebounding numbers that you usually get. So it is a dilemma here. And I think stylistically, from just a basketball standpoint, you have to evolve in some way. You can't have guys in a triple threat position, or not in a triple threat position,
not looking at the basket.
You know, and there's Draymond's not the only one. You've got a team where you got a lot of specialists on the scene.
But like, going back to the on the court, at times GP2 is your four, offensively.
Yeah, and he's in a dunker role.
At times, Jonathan Kuminga is your four. At times, and to a way lesser degree, Kyle Anderson's your four, right? I thought, this is going back a couple years, I thought at times, not for the whole game, you could have played Klay Thompson at the four. I actually thought that was a better fit for him on offense for this team. Now, defense, you mix and match, and we'll figure it out.
Klay Thompson has good lower body strength.
Exactly.
And he could play the four defensively. Just I've seen him guard guys. Like, yeah, I've seen him guard guys down on the block and hold his own for the most part. But literally, for the most part, it's not going to work out defensively if you do it all game long. But in spurts, you can get away with that.
So, when Dre is playing the four, it makes things complicated. And then if Dre is playing the four, who you have at the five is extremely important. And who you have at the other two spots outside of Curry is extremely important for spacing. So there's always going to be this spacing vortex, right, when it comes offensively. Then I think about team chemistry. I mean, come on, guys. Let's just come on. Yeah, okay, Curry and him have great chemistry. You know, like, there's more to chemistry than do I pass well. It's all the other stuff. Like, you know, the temperament on the floor is very, very important. And then I think about, you know, all the other guys that can get options and get looks and stuff. The time has been here, and I've been here for a long time. Like, dude, it's addition by subtraction. Look, he's a great player. He's an all-time player. They don't win any championships with him. All of that is true. If they're ever going to win anything moving forward, you got to move him. It's time to go. We've been here. Like, I've been here for a while. It seems like a lot of people are on my page. And then I just think about what happened with Jordan Poole. It's like, guys, the time is now to just remove the Band-Aids. If you want to move into the next era, and if the Warriors are going to make any kind of movement, not just this year, but for the next couple years, it's addition by subtraction.
Well, I do know I heard from a lot of fans last year, and 408, this is not true.
What's that?
He said Poole did want a bigger role, and it sucks that he would have had that role with Klay departing from the team. No, Poole was happy here. Like, that's the thing, that this misconception, and I don't know where it came from. I don't know where the stuff comes from, because I'm in the weeds every single day when it comes to this organization and this team. And so people who don't cover the team or don't go to have locker room access or just random fans who are saying things. I get it. Everybody has a right to their opinion. But Poole was good. As long as Poole, like a lot of these players, yeah, they'll bitch and moan maybe about not being in the starting five. But as long as they're seeing 30 minutes a game and they're playing in pivotal moments of a game, they're good. Well, they're going to be good. If they're contributing to winning and getting minutes, they're fine. And so Poole was fine in his role. He knew the drill, let the Splash Brothers cook. He grew up watching the Splash Brothers, for crying out loud. And think about all the young guys you did have on the team that looked up to Steph. Like, that's the thing. This is Steph Curry, which is why I don't want to train him, which is why I want him to be a lifelong Warrior. That's why I think he's worth every single penny of whatever contract he gets. I don't care. But they all looked up to Curry, whether it was Wiseman, Potts, Poole, you know, for a lesser extent, Clay, who was here after Steph Curry. And Steph was like the big brother saying, hey, it's you and I show now that we traded Monte Ellis. This is our show now. So when it comes to Draymond and it comes to everything that happens, this is the natural evolution of a basketball team and the style that you play. Now, does Draymond fit with the style that you play right now? Steve Kerr really trusts this guy. But I did wonder, what would it have looked like with Poole and Clay? What would it have looked like when you got spacing on the floor and bucket getters? Because I swear to God, the NBA to me is an offensive league.
Yeah.
People say defense, yeah, you need stops. Obviously, you need three stops in a row at times. You need to play some defense. You need to contest. But really, the Warriors have a top 10 defense when it comes to the rating and the stats. Their offense stinks right now. And it's a bucket-getting league. Can you get a bucket in crunch time? Can I get guys who could dribble, drive, penetrate, and blow past the defender? Well, Jordan Poole can, and he always has been. And you lost that for CP3. And I understand you couldn't have those guys in the locker room, so they basically chose the four-time champ over the one-time champ. I get that. But boy, it doesn't look good. The optics doesn't look good. So, again, you get Draymond Green bringing light to the fire again, where Jordan Poole says, hey, let Jordan Poole say what he says. He loves most of the guys over there. We understand what he said.
Yeah, but the Warriors will never be able to move on until they move on.
No, God, no doubt about that.
What I'm getting to, though,
is Draymond Green replying on the tweet. It's like, we don't need to bring light to this again. Now, Draymond Green is a grown-ass man. He can do whatever the hell he wants to do. Who am I to say
that? Yeah, but
that?
His actions have repercussions.
But the tact where it's like, gosh, man, 2 years later, I get you trying to apologize, but you understand that young man went through that year was atrocious. So for me, I just have empathy for Jordan Poole. I'm not even looking at Draymond Green. I'm looking at Jordan Poole saying, how many people talk smack about him that year? Even Saturday night, I ran into some fans who are like, well, Jordan Poole deserved it. He was a little sick, man. What if somebody punched you at your job? Would you be able to go to work every single day? Now, I know myself. I'll speak for myself here. I wouldn't be able to work with somebody. It was hard for me to work with somebody who cursed me out at this damn station for crying out loud. Now, let alone punch me. Yeah, it wouldn't happen. So I understand why Jordan Poole was unhappy that season. You wake up, you're in the social media era, you pop on Instagram, guess what's being played? You're getting socked in the face over and over and over. Hell, he's an NBA 2K player. Jordan Poole loves video games. He logs on an NBA 2K or you log on an Instagram and an NBA 2K, that got your player profile, you got a black eye. How's that going to make you feel?
It's ridiculous.
How's it? So who he had a bad attitude. And you blame him? So that's where, you know.
Wait, he had a bad, Draymond has a great attitude?
I mean, it is just. It's wild, man. But I do want to know how Dub Nation feels after watching that game Saturday. 888-957-9570 and the apology. Are you giving Draymond Green the benefit of the doubt? 888-957-9570 is the number. And then we talk about the dynasty. ESPN has an article talking about the dynasty, Shasky, or about what's going on right now. And it is, as Steph Curry said, it's very volatile right now in terms of the emotional roller coaster this year, similar to what it was like during the championship season. I think it's a challenge for us just to try to maintain confidence in what we're doing and what we're building. And until we run out of time, we have to maintain it. So I love that perspective. But boy, we're running out of time. And this stretch right now, to me, is a season-defining stretch for the Golden State Warriors. If you can't go 6-3 or 7-2 during this 9-game stretch, then you may be out of the box, and you may be talking about blowing this thing up again this offseason. That's where we're at right now with the Warriors.
There's two things that I get a headache even when I read it. Who leaked the video? Who cares? Number one. Yeah. What did he say to get punched in the face? What did he do? Again, who cares? Like,
It's one thing to push somebody if someone says something very disrespectful. Like, I don't even know. Who knows? That punch was, I'm knocking your lights out. Like, I don't even know, man. We're here, and all I keep coming back to is that, why are you tweeting right now? This goes back to self-control with Draymond, which is a problem on the floor, and clearly, I don't know what did he think he was going to do? Like, how is he solving anything with that tweet?
Well, I don't think he's solving. I think he's putting it out there saying that the guilt is getting to him, and he's saying, look, I'm truly sorry.
So I read that tweet. I'm a Warrior fan. So, you know what? Draymond, sorry.
Well,
I'm asking, like, I'm serious.
But I'm spitting here in terms of the guy's trying to say, I'm sorry. The guy's trying to say it. Now, it may be too late, and I don't know how Jordan Poole feels about that. You'd have to ask Jordan Poole. You have to ask his family how he feels about that. But it's also, you know, when people say, boy, fights happen all the time in practice. Now, fights like that, and it's a different era. Confrontations are working hard. And it's hard to work with somebody when you have confrontations. I've been in multiple stops in my life. And when you have confrontations at work, that's the beginning of the end. And so that incident right there, they haven't recovered from that.
No.
Let's be real. They just have not recovered from it.
The thing I keep coming back to, it was 2 years removed. Does anybody think it was right that he suited up for ring night? I mean, does anyone even remember? Like, ring night. And in the moment, it meant, like, if he had been suspended for ring night, would it really have made that big of a difference for his legacy? Because he wasn't on the video montage like later. He didn't get in trouble at all. I keep coming back to, like, Poole's perspective on this, and then other people who might have been friends with Poole. Because we know, like, everyone's got friends at work.
Oh, yeah.
Like, nobody's a loner, right? I mean, hopefully no one's a loner, but, like, everybody's got buddies. And it's like, dude, you guys are all, everyone's just going to, like, look the other way on this?
Well, I just remember.
Wow.
Remember walking in the tunnel to watch the ceremony for ring night. I always love ring night. It's always fun.
Yeah, sure.
But
in retrospect, it feels so foolish that he suited up.
But I walked in the tunnel to see the reception because I wanted to see the reception. And when Draymond Green got announced, he got some cheers, no doubt about it. He didn't get any boos, but I scanned the arena to see what the reception was because people were in the fog. People don't understand how much of a fan favorite Jordan Poole was after that championship season. I mean, people loved Poole, loved him. And Draymond, when he got announced, there was a lot of people with their hands in their pocket. And then when Jordan Poole got announced, he got a big pop. And I think just the morals of everybody, if you have good morals, you know that, hey, man, what's right is right, what's wrong is wrong. And that situation was wrong. And now, when you think about that situation, how do you police your locker room? How do you navigate when somebody does break a rule? How do you navigate when a youngster sees that and says, boy, you really didn't punish him. You're going to punish me. There's just a snowball effect of what could happen. Now, credit to Steve Kerr, the organization. They've been able to stabilize the culture for one part. But if you do want change, change comes when you move one of the core players. They moved off of one of the core players, Klay Thompson. What's going to happen with Draymond Green here? Because he's out with the left calf strain, and he does not look good body-wise in terms of how he's moving and how he's limping around. That's just another aspect of the whole equation here.
How many times have we gotten this text? Fights happen all the time in practice. Fights happen all the time. Mully and Darrell Wright, who you work with, and Festus Ezeli, how many times were they on the floor where someone got punched in the face at practice?
No, they all said it doesn't really happen at practice.
It's like said it. Every week, you know,
Darrell,
Adonis Haslam just stealing on Tyler Hero.
Kevin Durant said, I've been playing in the league for 6 years. I've never seen anything like that happen in practice. That's Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, so.
Who's a pretty surly guy.
Yeah. Injury report time.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
We're sad now because it is a concern with Draymond Green's calf and his back. The calf is related to the back, and we saw this a couple years ago in the championship season, although he was able to come back in the last week and have a good playoff run. However, he's going to miss tonight, and he may not be on the court for the rest of the week. Who knows? He's dealing with the calf strain that he appeared to aggravate in Saturday's win over the Wizards. 3 minutes into the game, he was out. More information hopefully is made available to his injury today at Steve Kerr's presser, which would be a little early today. Again, tip off at 2 o'clock. at Chase Center. Steph Curry is also questionable with the left ankle sprain, but he said Saturday night that he expects to suit up. It is a nationally televised game on TNT, and Steph loves to suit up for these national televised games. But injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, another California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. All right, what's coming up in the game? Brought to you by Freebob Bank. Here for you, here for good. Jermaine Wiggins at 8:30, but we'll continue to roll on this Draymond stuff. Richard and Burley Game has an interesting point on the situation, as well as Cam and Antioch. We'll get to everybody on the lines. 888-957-9570. Boy, how much did you miss Jordan Poole? What'd you think of Saturday night? All that stuff coming up here on The Roast.